But I want to open this word to you. Look at somebody and say, there's nothing more powerful than this word. Amen. This word is your life. Amen. This word is your strength. This word is your hope. This word is your vision. This word is your purpose. This word is your security. This word is your insurance. This word is your covenant. This word is your promise. Amen. This word is your life. And this word is your joy. Amen. And whatever you need this morning, it's in the word. Amen. And so we're going to just jump into the word this morning and share together. And then as the Holy Spirit directs, there's a few people that I feel that we need to minister to this morning. And let's have the elders of the house stand up. The elders, the leaders, all the leaders in the house stand up. If you're in here this morning, then pastors stand up. Amen. Praise God. We just need to honor the leaders. Amen. 22 years. Amen. They're honoring the church. But, amen, we wouldn't be a church without good leaders. Amen. We wouldn't be in this building without the leaders that you have. Amen. Because they pioneered and got everything to where is at. So let's give a hand of congratulations, celebration. Amen. Honoring them. Amen. For the hard work, the perseverance, amen, the stick-to-itiveness, the grit, and all that it takes to build against all opposition, amen. God bless you guys. We love all of you, amen. I'm going to open this word this morning. We're going to be talking about enlargement. Everybody say enlargement. And, you know, sometimes when you hear a word, sometimes you relate that word to the corporate body in the corporate church, and we isolate the word to the church, and we really don't always expand that word to our family, expand that word to your business, expand that word to your sphere of influence. Amen. And so as I'm charging you in this word this morning, amen, I want you to see it applying to your business. I want to see it applying to your family, your children, your children's children. Amen. See it applying to your legacy, to your inheritance, and all that God has blessed you with. Amen. And even those that will see us online at some port, we just send out, amen, the word of the Lord. I begin this message on Friday night. And you could go back and get the CD. I'm sure they'll have it available. But let me just give you three excerpts from Friday night. Amen. A word that came from our bishop, Bishop Bill Hammond. Some people asked me recently, they said, why do you call him bishop? Because the Bible says that a bishop is an overseer of many. Amen. And so he oversees probably 6,000 churches in the United States and internationally. And so that's why we call him bishop. He's an overseer of many, many churches. Amen. But he released a word to us this year. And he said that as we cooperate with the word of God this year, say cooperate. In other words, we're not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word. That word doers there means to work the word or to put the word to work. Amen. And so we don't just read the word. We take the word and we do the word and we put the word to work. And guess what? The word works for us. Amen. But he said, as we co-labor with him and in the word of God this year and we're obedient to his commandments. Look at somebody say, God hasn't changed his mind. His commandments are the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you love the Lord your God, keep his commandments. Amen. As we keep his commandments and we co-labor with him, he said that it's going to be a glorious and a prosperous breakthrough for you. Say glorious and prosperous. How many of you could use a glorious and a prosperous breakthrough? Amen. I just want you to lay hold of that word. Amen. Because you're obedient to the word of God. You're obedient to his commandments. Amen. Lay hold of that word and begin to decree it over your business. Decree it over your family. Decree it over your community, over your church, over your leaders. Amen. That this is going to be a glorious and a prosperous breakthrough year for us. Amen. And then Apostle Tom Hammond released a word this year, amen, about battling at your gate. Now, the reason we're using the word battle at your gate is because in 2008, we began to receive revelation on the gates of heaven. Networks at large were preaching on gates and gateways and breaking through your gates and tearing down the gates and warring. Amen. But many people gave up at their gate because of impossibilities. But how many of you know the Bible says that with God, All things are, go ahead and say it, possible. Say, all things are possible. Amen. And we believe, amen, that as you get to your gate of opportunity, and I believe for this house, amen, for the river, amen, that there is a brand new gate of opportunity that God is opening up to us, amen. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said that I will open gates for you or doors for you that no man will be able to close, and I will close doors that no man will be able to open. Amen. And I just believe that we have entered in this, as we come into this 23rd year, amen, a gateway year and a gateway of opportunity, a gateway of breakthrough, a gateway of celebration, a gateway of retrieving and taking back everything that the enemy has tried to rob, steal, and kill. Amen. But you have to battle at your gate. Say, battle at your gate. Let me encourage you to encourage one another. When it seems like the chips are down and everything is going wrong, begin to encourage them to battle at their gate. Begin to battle with one another. Why? Because this is a breakthrough season. I believe we're going to break through every gate of opposition. Amen. When we read this declaration for our offering time, you have to be very careful, because if you're not, you'll just read words on the screen. I like to challenge people. What three or four things up there is it that you're believing God for? If it's debts demolished, you say, debts demolished! Look at somebody, say, get an attitude. Sometimes you have to get an attitude about what you're saying, and you have to give application to what you're saying. Amen. But it's a breakthrough year. It's a breakthrough time, and battle at your gates. And the enemy is trying to assign giants at your gate. Look at somebody, say, don't be in fear of the giants. I remember that Israel was afraid of the giants. Come on, and they hid behind rocks and trees. But it took a Davidic anointing, a David anointing, amen, to arise up and defy the giant and defy the opposition, amen, that was causing Israel to hide. And the Bible says that he took the giant out, come on now, and made an open display of his destruction. And the children of Israel come out from their place of hiding. Look at somebody, say, we are deliverers. See, I believe God wants us to bring deliverance to our city, deliverance to our state, deliverance to our nation, deliverance as the kingdom of God. Amen. Listen, people are going to fly here into this place from all over the world. Why? Because the glory of God is present here, the power of God is present here, and God is aligning and bringing ones to this house, and he is raising up the generations in this house, and he is empowering you with a new supply of the Holy Spirit. Look at somebody, say, you'll never run dry. Come on now, why? Because God always has more than enough for you. But Apostle Tom said that the giants at the gate, giants of intimidation and humiliation and accusation and depression and deception, manipulation, amen, and from pollution and dilution, all of these giants have been assigned at your gate, and what they are saying is that you can't come in here. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody tells me that I can't, for some reason I have this attitude. If somebody says you can't, you know, even when I stand in going in and out of the nation, you know, you get through the, you know, through the check-in, and they say you have to stand behind that line. And, you know, those officers watch you. And if you get one foot over that line, that, you know, they'll call you out right there in front of 1,000 people. Get back behind the line. Yes, sir. There's something about when I get to that line, I'm always challenged. You know, at least have my foot on the line. I like to watch preachers on platforms because, you know, they won't preach far back. They'll always preach with their toes hanging over the edge of the platform. I wondered about that, so I thought we'll build the platform farther out. And guess what? Their toes still hung over the edge of the platform. That's why they have me on the floor. They don't want me to fall. But those giants are assigned at your gate and saying that you can't come in here, but you need to develop an attitude of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. That says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm royal priesthood. I'm an heir and joint heir. Amen. For the Father God. Amen. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places, and I have a right. Hallelujah. Say, I have a right. Amen. This season is about exercising your rights in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And defy the giants. Defy, amen, that spirit of opposition, that intimidation, that false humiliation, and just cast it down and step on the neck of your enemies. Come on. And so He said, battle at your gate. Don't turn and run and hide, but wage a warfare this year. I just believe as the river, amen, that there's a fresh anointing of warfare that God has released in this place. Amen. You know, let me just help you with something. You know, sometimes warfare is literally, you know, doing prophetic acts. You know, sometimes it's dancing. Putting the enemy under your feet. Sometimes it's clapping, driving nails into the head of the enemy. Different expressions of warfare, banners and flags and expressive worship. Amen. But let me tell you some other levels of warfare. One could be love. Everybody say love. See, the devil's the opposite of love. But when we express love to one another, when we express love of the kingdom of God, amen, we begin to defeat, amen, the deceptions of the enemy. Amen. This is a time of warfare, of breaking through. Jane Hammond received a word and she said, it's a fresh release of the prophet's reward. Understanding that the prophet's reward is the miracle that money can't buy. How many of you need a miracle that money's not the issue? Come on. Come on, we've had millionaires that have either taken their life or died this past year in the United States of America, amen, because money could not buy the miracle that they needed. You can have all the money in the world, but it can't always buy the miracle that you need. And the Shunammite woman in the Bible needed a miracle that money was not the object. Come on now, she needed a supernatural breakthrough in her family, and she needed a supernatural impartation that could only happen at the hand of God. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that God is setting us up for supernatural miracles. Come on now. Those of you that co-labor with God this year, you're obedient to His commandments, you begin to battle at your gates, there's a supernatural miracle and breakthrough that Daddy wants to release to you. Amen. Just raise your hands with me, would you? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we agree corporately as the body of Christ. Lord, You said where one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. And we believe corporately this morning, Father, that You are driving back the enemy and You're releasing Your glory for this house and this people for such a time as this, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We're going to talk about enlargement because I believe this is a time that God says, I want to increase your church. I want to increase your family. I want to, doesn't mean we're all going to go home and have babies. Amen. But He's talking about that growth of maturity, that growth of wisdom, that growth of exponential miracles that God wants to release in your life. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 54 for just a few minutes this morning. Isaiah chapter 54, if you want to go there, page 647. If we have the right Bibles, praise God. Amen. I'm going to read here for you, beginning in verse 1. He says, sing, O barren. Everybody say, sing. Didn't you just love the worship this morning? Doesn't our sister here just have an awesome voice, Mother David? Wow. I wish my wife was here to hear that. She would just love you. Amen. But He says, sing, O barren. We're talking about expansion this morning. And what is a blockage to expansion, or the opposite, amen, would be barrenness. Say barrenness. Amen. The devil's job is to try to keep you in a place of barrenness, keep you in a place where faith is not activated, keep you in a place, amen, where you feel like you're always on the bottom and never on the top, keep you in a place where you're not comfortable with love, not comfortable with home, not comfortable with people, not comfortable even with your own purpose. The devil will try to keep you in a place where it's like you are under his feet, but I'm declaring to you that you are under the umbrella of the Father of heaven, because he said, my banner over you is love. Say, it's love. You know, you need to understand, when God says my banner over you is love and that I love you, he will never ever give up on you, and he will never forsake you, and he will never leave you. You said, oh, but Apostle, you don't know how bad I've been. You can't be so bad that your daddy will give up on you. Come on, people will give up on you. You will give up on yourself, but God will never, ever give up on you. Come on now, he is there to fight with you, to war with you, to love you, to woo you, to promote you, provoke you, amen, to come on in and to be all that he has created you to be. That's why when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said to fear no evil, for the Lord your God is there with you. Say, he's with me. Amen. So I'm speaking about enlargement here at the river and every member of this ministry and this vision. He says, sing, O barren, you who have not born yet, break forth into singing and cry out loud. Everybody say out loud. No, come on, try that again. Cry out loud. You see, you got to understand, God likes it loud. Come on, the Bible says he comes with a shout. He's going up with a shout. Come on now. Heaven, the Bible says that there'll only be 30 seconds of silence in heaven. And after that, heaven will be the loudest place that you'll ever be. Come on now. God likes it loud. Amen. And sometimes we have to get loud. That's why the Bible says with the mouth, confession or words or syllables or sounds, amen, are made, amen, that brings you into that place of salvation and into that place of covenant and commitment with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he says, sing, O barren, those of you who have not born yet, and get more radical and sing out loud and cry out loud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Look at somebody and say, you are not alone. Come on now. All of us have areas of life or ministry or business or family, amen, where we need to break through. We have a dream. I have a dream that I've not fulfilled yet. Amen. I have a focus that is yet in front of me. And at times it looks absolutely impossible, but I understand that with God, all things are possible. And so I literally have to confront the impossibility. Amen. And God says, I'm giving you a key this morning. If you will begin to sing, if you will begin to cry out loud, if you will begin to shout, amen, from your place of deficit, I will bring you into a place of prosperity. Come on now. And I will turn everything around, and I will work all things together for your good. Say, my good. See, God cares just about you. I was in my prayer one morning at our church, and we have pews similar to what you have here, and I normally just walk through the pews, and I pray, you know, and as you walk through, you can almost see people in there, because people normally sit in the same places. I was thinking this morning, wouldn't that be something if we assigned everybody a new place to sit on Sunday? No. If we brought... But I was walking and I'm praying for people. I'm praying over the vision, praying over the church. And then I'm praying over some situations in my life. And what are some areas of need that I have? And what are some areas of breakthrough that we need? And as I'm beginning to pray, all of a sudden, there was some other thoughts that begin to come into my mind. And it was thoughts of starving children and how many people die every minute without knowing Christ, and how many people literally starve to death every day? How many people are homeless and no place to lay down their head? And all these thoughts begin to come into my mind. All of a sudden I begin to repent. Now my prayer is changing. And rather than asking, I'm repenting and saying, God, forgive me for asking for so many things about myself when the needs are so great. And all of a sudden the Father dropped his word into my spirit. And it was like this: Apostle Leon, I love you with an everlasting love. I care about the smallest thing in your life as well as the greatest thing in your life. And with me, there is nothing too great or nothing too small that you can ask me for. Come on now. He says, I understand your concern about everything else in the world, but I want you to know that I'm omniscient, I'm omnipresent, I am always with you, and I care about you. Look at somebody and say, God cares about you. Come on now. And I said, oh, but God, I just feel like a speck of dust on the earth. I mean, God, you have millions and millions of sons and daughters, and you have some of the cream of the crop, and they are so great. And God, I'm like a speck of dust. I'm like nobody out here in the middle of nowhere by myself. Anybody ever felt that way? Come on. And God began to correct me. He said, I no longer want you to ever see yourself as nobody or as a speck of dust or just going to, or just working to get someplace and not recognized. And I never want you to see yourself as nothing again. I want you to see yourself as a blood cell. I said, a blood cell? He says, yes. Your body has millions of blood cells. And guess what? They're reproducing every microsecond in your body, and they're beyond number. He said, but it only takes one cell to get out of order, to destroy the whole body. He said, that's how important you are. Look at somebody, say, you're very important. I'm telling you, the devil will work overtime to make you feel lesser than what you are. But God says, you're the cream of the crop. You're the best that I've got. And I have here for such a time as this. And he says, I'm breaking that spirit of barrenness. If you will just sing out loud, if you will just begin to cry out loud from your beds, come on now, and begin to release a voice of praise and call out to God. He said, I will break that spirit of barrenness off of you. And I believe he's breaking it off of Elkhart, Indiana. He is breaking it off in northern Indiana. He is breaking it off the river. He is breaking it off your business. He's breaking it off of your family and your personal life. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying this is your time of breakthrough. This is your time when God says, I'm opening a new door. I want to take you to a new level. I want to give you a new joy. I want to give you a new excitement. I want to give you a fresh vision. I want to unlock the dream in your heart. And I want to operate miracles, signs, and wonders out of your innermost. I want you to be a river that is flowing out into your sphere of influence. Look at somebody and say, break out. God, say it again, would you? Break out. It's time for us to break out. Break out of fear. Break out of insecurity. Break out of that place of nothingness. Break out of places of depression and oppression. Praise God for that testimony this morning. If God done it for her, he'll do it for you. Come on now. And the devil tries to come at a time when you least expect it, when you should be rejoicing, and he'll try to bring a damper upon you, and you need to pull yourself out of that place. I just want to be real with you this morning. I was in our home in Florida some years ago, and I put in a day at the office, and my day at the office would have been phone calls and counseling and praying and taking care of ministry business and aligning students and grading courses and all of these types of things. And I'd put in a full day's work. And when I got home that evening, I just sat down in my lounge chair, amen, just to rest my eyes for just a few minutes. But while I was sitting there, all of a sudden there was a heaviness that came over me. All of a sudden I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't really feeling sick. I just wasn't feeling good. And I wasn't feeling good about myself. Wasn't feeling good about the house. I just wasn't feeling good about anything. Just all of a sudden I wasn't feeling good. And then there was a voice on the inside of me that said, wake up, break up, stand up, come on out. Why? Because at a time when you least expect that, the enemy will try to bring an oppression. He'll try to bring in depression. And all of a sudden, you feel like the biggest failure on earth. And God says, you're not a failure and you didn't fail. That was the giant at your gate. And get upon your feet and begin to wage a warfare and defy the lie of the devil and possess your joy. Look at somebody say, take it back. Amen. So that's what he's speaking here. Sing, O barren, those of you who have not born yet, let a song be birthed out of your spirit. Amen. I believe that music, I believe that song is something that is going to, there's going to be an explosion of it, not only in the river, but there's going to be an explosion in the kingdom of God, nationwide, worldwide. Amen. Because singing is a weapon of war, and people are going to begin to sing. People are going to be rejoiced, just like Jehoshaphat's armies, come on now, and our enemies will be destroyed and the spoils will be released into the kingdom of God. Say, I'm breaking through. Amen. That's what God is speaking to this house this morning. He said, sing, O barren. You have not born yet. Come on now. Why? Because you are getting ready, amen, to be productive. And God's going to prosper your business. He's going to prosper your family. He's going to prosper your marriage. He's going to prosper your church. He's going to give you favor in your community. He's going to open doors for you that you thought could never be open. And where you was lacking of a dream, He's going to begin to infuse you with a dream of heaven. Why? Because God purposed you in heaven before you ever got to earth. Jeremiah 29:11, the prophet began to prophesy. Come on now. And God said, I know the plans and the purpose that I have for you. And they are to bless you. They are to increase you. They are to multiply you because I have an expected purpose and an expected end for you. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, we're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. This is going to be a time of acceleration. Amen. Verse 2. He said, enlarge. Everybody say enlarge. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, this is not just speaking about a physical house or a physical tent. He is speaking about this tent. Come on, he is speaking about this sanctuary. He is speaking about this earthen vessel. Begin to enlarge, amen, the place of your tent, amen, so that God can begin to break through. Stretch it out, amen, and let them stretch out the curtains of their dwellings and do not spare. Say, do not spare. And do not spare. Amen. And lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So when we talk about enlargement, we talk about change. Everybody say change. You know, sometimes it's a good word. You're excited for change. And other times it's like, oh my gosh, I got to change again. But when you talk about expansion, when you talk about breaking out, when you talk about increase, when you talk about next level, when you talk about shifting into the purposes of God, you have to position yourself, amen, for the changes that God is going to bring. I love going back to churches repeatedly year after year. I don't always get to do that, but I have some churches that I've been able to do that, like here. Amen. I've been coming for several years. Amen. At least once a year. Amen. But every time that I come, I see something breaking out. I see something shifting. I see something changing. There's always a new sound. There are new voices. This year, we had a choir of children and young people. Did anybody see that? Look at somebody say, we're breaking out. I don't know about you, but I like being in places where I can see there is opportunity for the young and the old alike. Come on now. I saw one get out of her chair and begin to dance this morning. Hallelujah. I pray to God that all of you would move out of your benches and get out of the aisles and come down to the front and just begin to give an exuberant worship and praise and sing with a loud voice and cry out to God. Why? Because it is your weapon of war. Come on. We don't come to church to be pacified just to hear a good message or to know that God is still God. No, we come as the church, the bride of Christ, to be infused, to be empowered, to be excited, amen, to be launched, to be sent, amen, to be activated, amen, to be all that God has called us to be. Come on now. You're in a place of breakthrough and you're going to a new level. Amen. And God said it's time, amen, for enlargement, and be ready for the changes that I will bring, says the Lord. Now, as I've confronted change in the last couple of years, I've had to confront limitations. Say limitations. And limitations come from mindsets. Limitations come from a lack. Limitations come from need. Limitations come from depression. Limitations come from rejection and abandonment and being orphaned. And you go through all of these phases in life. And if you're not careful, it will begin to form and dictate to you, this is who you are and this is what you can do and this is what you're capable of. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, I can't do that. I wouldn't ever try that. Or I sure wouldn't step out there. Or I sure. And you ask yourself, why not? Why can't I put my foot on that line? Why can't I just step over that line? Well, because he's going to say, get back there. That's okay. Say it if you want. But I still have the right to step over a line. When you break out of limitations, sometimes you have to do something radical. Come on. I went and looked at a car one time, and the car got me so excited. And in my flesh, it said, you can't afford this. You can't afford this. And I can hear the voice of my wife. Not only can you afford it, you'll take it back if you get it. And I'm hearing all of this here opposition saying, you can't, you can't, you can't. But when I drove that car, come on, I said, I don't even want this car, but I have a right to drive this car. I have a right to look at this car. Come on now. I have a right to dream outside, come on now, of the middle class automobile and to begin to look at something more, you know, higher scale. Look at somebody say, I have a right. But you have a right to relook at your home and say, I can decorate. I don't have to decorate from Walmart. Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes you have to do something radical to break out of places that you're in so that you will stretch your thinking and you will stretch your dream and it will allow you to begin to see things different than what you've been seeing. See, everybody doesn't need to go buy a new car and go buy a new drapes for your home. You don't have to do all of that. Even though you can do that and you have a right to do that, but you need to break out of the limitation, amen, that also says, amen, that you cannot do all things through Christ and he is not there to strengthen you. And don't just listen to that pastor and people say they're praying, but they're not really praying. And the enemy will try to put all kinds of things on you to try to put a limitation about you. Come on. But I'm decreeing over the river, amen, that limitations are being broken. Come on now. You're going to live the best, eat the best, drive the best, wear the best. Come on now. You're going to act the best. You're going to be your best. Come on now. Why? Because you are the best. Look at somebody say, we are the best. So enlarge the place of your tent and stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Now, this is not just speaking about your natural children. When it says that your children shall inhabit the nations, it's speaking about the harvest of the kingdom of God that's on the inside of you. Look at somebody say, there's a harvest in me. See, you're created to be reproducers. God created you to soar like the eagle. God created you to be a reproducer. As a matter of fact, in Genesis, he commanded you to reproduce after your kind. That did not just mean get married and have babies, even though it does mean that. It also means, amen, that there's a Christ in you, and that Christ that is in you is reproducible into somebody else. Come on now. So I believe it is speaking about the harvest of souls, amen, that God will activate and God will release through you, amen, that will go to the nations of the world. Come on now. And the account that will be given to this house and to this vision and to each one of you will be beyond number. Say beyond number. God, one act of the kingdom of God, one miracle, one word of knowledge, one word of evangelism, one word of encouragement, one word of prayer prayed over somebody's life can bring transformation in that life that can turn a world upside down. You know, sometimes we have to bring an awareness back to who we are. Come on now. We're not just people trying to survive. We're not just survivors. Come on. No, we're divers. Hallelujah. I like that part of your theme this year. Amen. We're going to go deeper. We're divers. Hallelujah. We're going to dive in it. We used to sing a song on our network, diving into the presence of the Lord. And I remember all of our children got so excited. Hallelujah. Amen. They just begin to dive. Hallelujah. Some of you just need to break out and you need to dive into the presence of the Lord. Amen. You shall expand. That's the harvest of the souls of the kingdom of God that is within you. There are seeds in you that heaven is waiting for you to reproduce. He said, do not fear. You will not be ashamed. Say, I'll not be ashamed. I'm afraid that there's a fear trying to come upon the church, the body of Christ. Come on now. That makes you feel so much like nothing. Amen. That you don't realize the power of Christ that is in you. You have power to bring transformation. God, you have power to save a life. You have power, amen, to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And you will not be ashamed. If you will step out by faith, if you will activate the grace of God, if you will activate this word of God that is within you. Come on now. God will enlarge your boundaries. He'll enlarge your territory. He will enlarge your faith. He will enlarge the place that He has you. Come on now. What? And you talk about glory. The more you enlarge, the more momentum that you get. The more momentum you get, the more glory. Come on. You can't outgive God and you can't outdo God. God said, if you will do it, I'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that you can ask or even dream of. Wow, come on, say God is able. Come on, this is a breakthrough year. Gates are opening. Things are shifting. Why? Because the glory of God is upon this place. The grace of God's upon your family, upon your businesses, upon your households. I was sharing Friday night. Sometimes I get in places and I have to pinch myself just to be sure that I know I'm not just human. There's more to me than what you see. I just look like a human being. But really, I'm a bionic person. Come on, there's another whole man inside of this shell. Maybe my knees don't like it. Maybe my arms don't like it. Sometimes maybe my head doesn't like it. But inside of me is the power of the Holy Ghost. And He is present 24 hours a day. And He is always ready, amen, to be expressed and to be given away to somebody else. I don't believe I could say enough or try to illustrate enough of the greatness and the magnitude of God that is on the inside of you. I'm afraid that the enemy's tried to interrupt sonship and to make you less than a son. God, try to put a slavery mentality upon you, or to try to put a mentality, amen, that you only get what you deserve, and if you don't do enough, you don't deserve it, and all of a sudden you become performance oriented, and your acceptance is based on how you perform and what you do. But see, that's contrary to the love of the Father, because the Bible says that while you were dead in sins and trespasses, He gave His life for you. What does that mean? It means when you didn't even care. When you didn't even think about it. He loved you so much that He gave His life for you. Look at somebody and say, I love Him so much. Come on. We need to be in love with the Father. So He said, do not fear. You will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood any more. What's God saying? He's saying your years of obscurity, your years of impossibility, your years of non-productiveness, your years that have tried to rob you, your years that have tried to define you, all of those things, amen, there will be no shame from your youth. In other words, not one mistake that you have ever made in your life will be held to your account. Colossians chapter 2 says that every sin and ordinance that the devil had written against you, it was nailed to the cross of Calvary to be remembered no more. And it is so far out of the mind and thoughts of God as the heavens are from the seas upon the land. God has separated everything that was a weakness to you totally out of His mind. Fathers and mothers and parents, try to hear. There are things that we need to clear our mind of with our children. Amen. The bloopers, the blunders, and all of the little mistakes and the little failures. Come on now. That we don't hold them accountable to that as they grow and they get older. And we begin to speak curses upon them saying, you're this way. You always knock things over. You'll always make mistakes. You'll always, amen. And we put curses upon our families. And God says, bring your confession in alignment with your heart. Come on now. And get your spirit and your mind in alignment. Come on, begin to speak those things that are not as though they are, and begin to speak with possibility. For God said, with me, all things are possible. So He is saying here, your years of obscurity are finished. They are over. Come on now. And there will be no shame to your account. Just lay your hands on your heart, would you? Father, right now, just let the power of your presence, God, just flow throughout this sanctuary. God, throughout every fiber of their heart and their being right now. And God, bring that healing balm of Gilead that heals their heart, oh God, that begins to re-identify their image of who they are in You. For God, You are our Maker and You are our husband. You are the Lord of hosts, and that is Your name, oh God. And You are powerful in us. You are Redeemer in us, and You are the Holy One of Israel. And we are a people that is called by Your name. Say, I'm called by the name of God. I want to give you three keys real quick, and just to drop these in your spirit. I want to give you three keys on breaking barrenness. Can we do that? Amen. And you can get the tape because I'm going to talk fast. Amen. In 2 Peter, if you want to turn there, 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses for you, beginning in verse 5. But He said also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, say diligence, give diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And verse 8. For if these things are yours and they are abounding, or in other words, they are working and they are active in your life, they are abounding in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old man or from his old sin. So what is he saying here? He is saying that obedience is better than sacrifice. If we're obedient to the word of the Lord, we're obedient to righteousness, we're obedient to love, we're obedient to brotherly kindness, we're obedient, amen, to the fruit of the Spirit, we're obedient, amen, to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're obedient, he says that barrenness will have no place in you. Come on, look at somebody and say, obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Come on now. As we're obedient with the word of God, you will literally abolish and you will break the spirit of barrenness. Just raise your right hands with me right now in Jesus' name. Father, I come against every spirit of disobedience Lord, there's none in here that would be disobedient by purpose, but the enemy would try to set us up all at different times. Lord, that we would either refrain from, or we would run from, or we would deny your word. But I pray, God, in obedience on each one of them, God, that they will be aware of your righteousness, Lord. They won't be short-sighted, oh God, but Lord, they will be aware of your righteousness, God, and they will be seekers of holiness, and God, you will break them out of this barren season in Jesus' name. And God, your word goes before us, your power goes before us, and your authority goes before us, and you break every assignment of the enemy this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. In 1 Samuel 1, 12 through 20. Amen. We have an account of a dear sister in the Bible. Her name is Hannah. And many of you have read this story, but Hannah was a desperate woman, and Hannah needed a miracle that money couldn't buy, like the Shunammite woman. She really desired to have a son. But the Bible says that God had closed up her womb for a purpose and for a time and for a right season. But the Bible says that Hannah all of a sudden has come to a season of life, and she is crying out to God. Say, crying out to God. You know, when you get desperate enough, you pray different. When you get far enough on the bottom, you pray different. You cry different. You talk different. You even act different. Come on. When you get to a place of desperation, come on now, you begin to cry out to God. That's where Hannah was. The Bible says she was in a place where she was desperate before God. Why? Because she so desired to have a son and to be able to birth a son to her husband. But she was barren and non-productive. Come on, I'm giving you an analogy in the scripture, but I'm also releasing a paradigm of a prophetic word, amen, to you at the same time. And I'm saying that this is a time when God says, I'm breaking the barrenness and what was closed up in you and what was closed up to you. I am opening it up, says the Lord. And I'm going to give you supernatural revelation and supernatural provision and supernatural opportunity that is going to shift your season to that next level. The Bible says that Hannah was at the altar of the sanctuary, and after being to dinner with her husband, and she went to the church to pray, and she's praying at the altar. And the Bible says she was praying under her breath because she didn't really want anybody to hear her, and only her mouth was moving. And Eli the priest didn't really have the right discernment, but he's sitting off to the side, and he sees her mouth moving, and he thinks, this lady is drunk. Come on. And he actually approaches Hannah and talks to her and begins to correct her. Amen. For coming to the altar in a drunken position. Don't be drinking and coming into the house of the Lord. And Anna begins to defend herself. And she says, sir, I am not drunk. I would not drink. I'm a woman in desperation. Come on now. I'm a woman in dire need, and I am barren, and I need the barrenness to be broken, and I'm willing to do whatever God says that I have to do to break this barrenness because I want to be productive. When there comes a time, church, in your life when you say, barrenness is finished. My non-productive days are over. I'm going to be a producer and a reproducer that reproduces reproducers for the kingdom of God. Come on, as she poured her heart out to Eli, the priest, the Bible says that he speaks to her and he says, my, I didn't realize your desperation, but I am empowered, you know, as the high priest. And I'm telling you, go ahead and go and be at peace. And the miracle that you're crying out for, it's your miracle. Come on. Bible says that Hannah births a son. Oh, glory to God. Did you know there's an excitement when you break through? Woo! I mean, there's one thing applying for something. There's another thing when you get the key to it and you drive it. Whoa. Is everybody with me? When you get that place of breakthrough, it ignites something on the inside of you. It ignites faith on the inside of you, and it brings you to a new place in your positioning with the Father. Come on. The Bible says that a year later, she births little Samuel. Hallelujah. So what are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying that obedience will break barrenness. crying out to God will break barrenness. When you get desperate enough. About 12 years ago, I had a lot of problem with my knees. Hallelujah. And I had to have knee replacements. But you know what? I was almost 7 years of needing knee replacements in embarrassment in the church. If I had my knees replaced, you didn't have faith. You didn't believe. And you're a preacher. And you pray for sick people. And you couldn't get your own knees healed. I mean, just a bondage that tried to come upon me. Come on. Finally, one day, I went to a doctor. And he said, I'll take pictures of him, okay? He says, well, basically, you don't have any. Oh, really? Then I don't have to replace them. I just need to get some, right? He says, you don't have any knees. I said, how does a person know when to make this decision? That's a big decision. Going to cut your leg off and put new pieces in there. And that's a big decision to me. Come on. How do you know when to make this decision? And that's what I asked the doctor. And he looked at me. He said, when you get tired of it. When you get tired of the pain, when you get tired of the discomfort, when you get tired of the way it is, when you get tired of not having it, and that's where Hannah was at. She got tired of not birthing that child, come on, and she got desperate before God. When you get tired of the place that you're in, you begin to cry out to God. And when you cry out to God, you will break that spirit of barrenness. Let me give you one more illustration. Turn your Bibles to Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Genesis 17, real quick. I'm giving you three keys for breaking barrenness here at the river. Bible says in verse 1, chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old. Sounds old, doesn't it? The Lord appeared to Abraham. Evidently, age makes no difference. And he said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Wow, there's a condition. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face and he talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, which means father, but your name shall be called Abraham. Say Abraham. Abraham. Your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. What was God saying to Abram? He's saying, Abram, you're not just going to be daddy. You're going to be big daddy. You're not just going to be father. You're going to be a great father. You're going to be a big father. You're going to be a mighty father. Remember, Abraham's 99 years old. Look at somebody say, you're never too old. You're never too old. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants, your children and your children's children, after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and your descendants after you. And I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger at a land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. So you need to understand that the covenant, the blessing that God released upon Abraham, the greatness. He said, Abraham, you'll not just be a father, but You will be a great father. You'll not just be a daddy. You'll be a big daddy. And you're going to be one that will father many nations. And I will bless every nation after you with this same covenant. Look at somebody say, he's talking to you. Well, you need to see yourself in that covenant. At the river, we need to see ourselves in that covenant. Jump down to verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but you shall call her Sarah, shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations, of kings, of people shall come out of her. He was saying Sarah means mother, amen, but Sarah means mother of many. I'll not just make you mama, I'll make you big mama. Come on. God is cutting a covenant with Abram and Sarai, and he's saying, I'm going to cause you to be a mother and a father of many nations, and I'm going to multiply you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to cause your seed to prosper. I'm activating prophetically, amen, the covenant of Abraham upon this house this morning, upon your households, upon your children, and your children's children, and all the descendants of your children, come on now, upon your jobs, your businesses. God said, this will be a time I'll break you past every dilemma, and I'm removing every blockage, and I'm giving you an open door, and an open window and an open gate opportunity, and you've made a sacrificial seed, amen, to the prophets, and I'm going to give you that prophet's reward. See, Abram was pretty fleshly, even though he was chosen and appointed by God, wasn't a whole lot different than you or I. He was a man. Verse 18. And Abraham said to God. How many of you have ever tried to talk God out of something that he said? God says you can do this. Oh God, not me. You got the wrong guy. Abraham said to God, oh, I got an idea for you, God. How about Ishmael? Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Can we cut a deal, God? You do know, God, that you're talking to an old man and an older woman. And you may think that we're productive, but I'm telling you. I have experience now. And I've been trying to produce a son for almost 50 years. I think you're a little late. Would you consider Ishmael? You know, he is my son. Would you consider Ishmael? And all of a sudden, a voice comes from heaven in verse 19. Then God said, that means God spoke. Then God said, no! How many of you know that's pretty emphatic? I mean, this is capitalized in the Bible. And God said, no! Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I'll take care of him. What's happening in this whole thing? I'm hearing the word compromise. Abraham is trying to compromise with God and say, God, I'm confronted here with impossibilities. How many of you have a few impossible things before you? Come on, it looks impossible in the natural. But he's being confronted with impossibilities. But with God still, all things are possible. Come on, and he begins to compromise and he says, God, let's cut a deal. I have Ishmael, another son. Can you release that covenant upon him? And God says, no, no deals. My word is my word, and I honor my word above my name. Listen, God's going to honor his word in this house this morning. I'm going to ask us to stand for just a moment. You don't cut. Apostle Leon, you don't cut deals with God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on, there's a call of God upon you, upon this church, upon your pastors, upon rising leaders, upon your families. And God says, you're in your land of Canaan. Don't look to get out of your Canaan. Look to get more steepened into your Canaan. Say, God, why do you have me here? Come on. I mean, you might have had every threat imaginable that has come against you, every catastrophe that you could think of that has tried to come against you. But God says, my covenant is still the same. And that's why Abram is crying out and said, God, I'm 99. It's been a long time. And still no Isaac. But God said, he's coming. He's coming. Can we have an alternative? No, no alternatives. It's going to be just the way I said that it will be. Obedience, crying out to God. Get out of that that compromising, trying to cut deals with God. He's the good Father. He's not changed his mind. The best I can determine, he's the same yesterday and forever. Malachi says he changes not. He's unwavering. He's unmovable, steadfast, always abounding. Just lay your hands on your heart. Father, just as we stand before you this particular morning, celebrating 22 years of fulfillment. God, as we're launching into this 23rd year, Lord, I decree that this will be the best year of their ministry. This will be the beginning of a 10-year venture, God, that is going to prosper this vision, is going to prosper this house, is going to prosper the members, is going to prosper the families, and the harvest is going to be great, and the nations are going to be open. Marketplace is going to surrender to the kingdom. Lord, you said the wealth of the world is provided for the righteous. God, you will make a way where there appears to be no way at all. Because with you, all things are possible. Father, I release a deposit into their heart and into their spirit right now. I release a charge into their faith right now. God, that they will begin to speak a thing and they will believe it in their heart and they will receive it. Lord, you want to shift them from just being a daddy and a mama to be a big daddy and a big mama. You want to call them from non-productiveness to being very productive in this season of the life. I'm hearing a word of knowledge in relation to a spirit of thievery or a spirit of robbery. That there's some in here today that the enemy has literally tried to rob you. Even taxes have tried to rob you. People have tried to rob you. Contracts have tried to rob you. Father, I take authority over a spirit of robbery right now in Jesus' name. And Father, restore back to them everything that the enemy tried to rob, steal, and kill. God, give them greater victory, greater power, greater authority, greater vision, and a greater hope and expectation. The Lord says that your tomorrow is greater than your yesterday. And that I promised you that your latter years and the years that you're in would be far greater than your former years. I hear the Lord say, don't judge your future. Don't judge your potential. Don't judge your ability. Don't judge what you're able to do based on your past history. For your past is finished. It is over, says the Lord. The foundation has been laid. The word has been released. My authority has already covered you, and now I am sending you into a new season and into a new year, says the Lord. Just raise your hands with me, would you? And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Father God, as a church, we humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge your Lordship. We acknowledge your Son, who died on Calvary for us. We receive the covering blood this morning. The covenant blood that provided for us a hope and a promise, that provided eternal life for me, for my household, for my children and children's children. Father, I receive fresh of you this morning. Let your glory come down on me, and let your glory begin to cover me. Father, cover them by the power of your love this morning.